What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday, and welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Alarm NBA DFS podcast. As you can see, John and Pemba, he decided to take off today. What a slacker, right? On a Friday, just, you know, I'm not feeling the podcast today. Why don't you do it all alone? And I said, you know, I mean, I carry this podcast enough. I guess I could do it one more day. No, I'm just kidding. John has prior obligations. Him and I could not work out a schedule. I had prior obligations earlier in the day, so here we are, Johnless. Before we get into the breakdown, please like and thumbs up the video. And if you don't already subscribe to our channel, please do so. It means everything to us, so we appreciate that. Today I'm going to break it down game by game. I think it's just easier just riding solo to do so. We have 11 games, so buckle up. We'll try to speed through this as quickly as possible. First up, we have Phoenix and Indiana. The game total in that one is 230.5. Indiana getting 1.5. Actually, that line has moved to Indiana giving 2.5. That's interesting that maybe nobody for Phoenix available. Devin Booker is still listed questionable. There's no official status on him. But Phoenix is pretty shorthanded. No Kevin Durant, no Cameron Payne, no Landry Shamet. Jay Crowder is traded. TJ Warren, I guess, could theoretically make his debut. There's no official word there, but Dario Saric, they traded as well. No word on if Darius Bazley is going to be available for Phoenix. So it looks like everybody, it could be the same thing as it was on Friday night for Phoenix, sans Devin Booker. So now it might include Devin Booker, and that just makes everyone kind of look worse. I don't think you can get Devin Booker at 97. I know it's a great matchup, but he only played 26 minutes in his return. So even if that bumped up to 30, we're almost paying 10K for Booker. No thanks. Ayton is fine. Chris Paul is fine. And then if Devin Booker's back, all these secondary plays are just not as appealing. I think if they are out, it's interesting. Or if Devin Booker's out, it's interesting. You can go back to Josh Okogie. You can go back to Ish Wainwright. Damian Lee would be fine. Torrey Craig in tournaments. But if Devin Booker's in, I don't think you can really get to anything. On the Indiana side, we have Tyrese Haliburton at the top. You know, 9,400 is okay. I don't think we're mad if we get to Tyrese Haliburton. I also don't think we care if we don't get to Tyrese Haliburton. He hasn't looked great since returning. He had 52 fantasy points in his initial return. 35, 37, 33 fantasy points in three straight games. Not really going to cut it there. So, you know, Haliburton is fine. For the rest of the team, I just don't see myself getting to many pieces of this game. Miles Turner, I think, is okay. He's been quite good, 40-plus fantasy points in four straight games. That's including four double-doubles in each of those games. He's averaged 45 fantasy points, so not exactly a spot I would not use Miles Turner in. He has already a big game against Phoenix on his ledger. Center is just going to be a really popular position today. I think a lot of value is centered at center. So, you know, Turner, GPPs, Buddy Hield is in play in tournaments. And then with everyone healthy, I don't think you can play any of these wings. Naismith, Nimbard, Benedict Mathurin. I don't think you can get anywhere despite good price tags across the board. So Haliburton is okay in tournaments. Miles Turner and Buddy Hield are as well. Knicks Philadelphia is the next matchup we're going to take a look at. 6-point spread in favor of Philadelphia here. 223, current live number. You know, just not a very appealing game. When you take a look at the Knicks side, we're unsure if Josh Hart is going to make his debut. There is nothing available to us to play Josh Hart, so we cannot use Josh Hart on this slate for the Knicks. But Julius Randle, 10-4. You know, against an Embiid-led front court, it seems a little too pricey for me. Same thing with Jalen Brunson, 86. That feels a little too expensive. I like RJ Barrett's price, 64, but what is the impact Josh Hart is going to have if Josh Hart is active? Emmanuel Quickly, tournaments only. Quentin Grimes is forever a last piece in, but what does Quentin Grimes' role become if Josh Hart is active in this game? And then Isaiah Hartenstein, Jericho Sims are going to split time. Hartenstein's been better, just big foul trouble, 5,013 minutes his last time out. So, you know, hard not to expect that to happen again with Joel Embiid on the other side. Speaking of Joel Embiid, he is the top price point for Philly in the slate. It's fine if you get there. You know, 11 games, I don't think we need to get to Embiid, but we know he has as high of a ceiling as anyone in the NBA. Harden, same thing. He has a ceiling, but, you know, it's fine. Like, the minutes are back up, 37-38 the last two games, back-to-back double-doubles. And last game we saw, you know, 26-11. So if those rebounds had been there for Harden, more close to a season average, I mean, we're talking about a guy with, excuse me, near 60 fantasy point upside. Rest of the Sixers, like Tobias Harris is really cheap, 5,500. This is the cheapest we've seen him all year. So I don't hate getting there. There has been a very low floor lately, twice. He scored less than 15 fantasy points in his last three games. Tyrese Maxey is very cheap, but what's going on with the minutes? 27, 24, 22, they're decreasing. And as his minutes have been going down, De'Anthony Melton's minutes have been rising, 33 and 36 last games, 23-plus fantasy points in three straight. I don't hate Melton. That's probably my favorite play from Philly. And then you factor in they made a couple of trades. They traded Matisse Thybulle at the deadline, so I don't hate getting to De'Anthony Melton at 44. Spurs Detroit. This is where everything is going to be interesting. 235.5 total. Detroit giving 3 points to the Spurs. And right before I start recording, the Spurs. officially, TJ Warren and Darius Bazley will not make their Suns debut. That's now official. Spurs are very shorthanded in this game. They have 9 active players, and that is because they've officially ruled out Keldon Johnson, Jeremy Sochan, Trey Jones, Romeo Langford. Devin Vassell has been out. They traded Josh Richardson. They traded Jakob Poeltl. Kem Birch is also out. They're very shorthanded. Their highest priced player for Friday slate on DraftKings is Malachi Branham at $4,900. He had been really good up until that Toronto game. 13 plus shot attempts in three straight games, 15 actual or more, and 28 plus DraftKings points. It's a very soft matchup. These are the two worst defensive rated teams in the NBA. I'd be perfectly fine getting to Branham at 4,900. Same goes for Bates Diop as long as he's in the starting lineup. Honestly, whatever the starting lineup turns out, I have interest. I expect Blake Wesley to play a bunch of minutes. And I think the big question is what's going to go on at center. As of now, the Spurs did just sign Gorgui Dieng, so realistically, I guess he could be active. But as it stands right now, the only two center options Popovich has is Zach Collins and Isaiah Roby. Who knows if they're going to be in a, you know, 24-minute chop, and that's just what each are going to play. But we've seen Collins start earlier in the year. He even played a season-high 34 minutes against Boston back on January 7th. He's hit 28 minutes 3-4 times this year. So Collins can get extended to 30 minutes. He's a very good fantasy point per minute guy. If he's in the starting lineup, I'd be hard-pressed not to have a lot of interest considering how soft Detroit's front court defense has been. So Zach Collins stands to be one of the better values of slate. And then, like, Roby, if he started, he'd be fine. He's min salary and has better position eligibility than Collins. He has power forward center. I mean, it's just that makes things more flexible, especially when we get to the next game. There's some interesting center value there. But, you know, McDermott, Stanley Johnson, they're in play. Dominic Barlow, he's in play, lower end of the spectrum, but he's in play. And Blake Wesley, he's going to be in play. He's been a bucket in the G League, 20 points per game in 10 outings. So expect all these guys to be on our radar. When it comes to Detroit, they made a trade at the deadline yesterday in a three-team swap. They received James Wiseman and traded Sadiq Bey to the Pistons. So no more Sadiq Bey that we have to worry about potentially entering and not entering the starting lineup before lock. They announced Wiseman the starter, and I don't believe he's going to play here, but it makes you wonder what they're going to do because they have a million members in the front court. Is Jalen Duren going to go to the bench? Is Beef Stew going to go to the bench? All we know is Wiseman is going to start when he arrives. But let's assume he's not going to play here just because the trade happened yesterday. A lot of things to like about Detroit here. Bojan Bogdanovic is clearly, you know, now that he stayed and wasn't dealt, he is likely going to continue to lead them in scoring throughout the year, averaging 21 actual, 31 fantasy points, 6,300. This is cheapest we've seen him in, you know, since the beginning of January. So I like the price point. I think Jaden Ivey's price point looks really good at 53. The minutes, you know, somewhere between 25 and 30, typically. Decent ceiling, especially against a beat-up Spurs team. Jalen Duren, if he's starting, maybe his final game as a starter, as long as Wiseman is healthy, he looks pretty good at 5K. Killian Hayes looks good at 47. Re-enter the starting lineup over Alec Burks, 32 and 29 minutes the last two games, 40 and 24 fantasy points. So I get to Killian Hayes. Alec Burks kind of falling by the wayside. Himidu Diallo, GPPs, and that's it. So this was the game I was alluding to where there's center value, and that's Charlotte and Boston. Boston, as it stands, 11-point favorites. The it opened at 10. That has moved a bit since Jason Tatum has officially been ruled in, or deemed probable. I shouldn't say he's ruled in, but deemed probable. 226 total, dropped 3 points from open Charlotte side of things. So Charlotte made a splash. They actually traded out not only Mason Plumlee, but they also traded out Jalen McDaniels. Both guys are out. So that opens up, it's Mark Williams season. Mark Williams has been a fantasy point per minute freak all year long. On the year, averaging 13.6 minutes per game, 17 fantasy points per game. He is a freak of nature when it comes to fantasy production. And the problem with him is he's been buried as the second, sometimes even third center, because Nick Richards is there as well. So who knows what they're going to do. Whoever the starter is, I mean, Mark Williams is $3,200. Nick Richards is $3,000. Mark Williams is going to be extremely popular. I wouldn't hate taking a shot on Nick Richards in tournaments. He's also been a pretty good fantasy point per minute producer. Not the best spot against Boston, but like, we don't need them to go for 50. They're $3,200 and $3,000. Mark Williams, give him 24 minutes, but who knows what can happen. So love the centers. They're definitely the priorities. And honestly, like the only plays I'm really interested in, like LaMelo Ball, tournaments, 10.2 is pretty pricey. Rozier, we know, is fine in tournaments. I like the minutes for Gordon Hayward, 35 and 31 the last two games. I like the trade of McDaniels, but that's the extent of it. He hasn't really been productive from a fantasy perspective. So over to the Boston side with Jason Tatum probable, like he's priced appropriately. I, you know, there's no Jaylen Brown. So no Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, I should say. So like you can get to Tatum and that's fine. I just don't know if he's like the number one priority in terms of spend ups. Brogdon looked better when Tatum was questionable than he does now. I mean, he should play a solid amount of minutes. He played 35 minutes in that Philly game, 29 fantasy points, still 6,300. I think that's a little too expensive. But he should play 30 minutes with Jaylen Brown out. Derek White has been the better of the two. He just has. And he's playing legit minutes. I mean, we're talking about a guy who's played 32 or more minutes in five straight games. double figure shot attempts in 4 straight, you know, 19 or more actual points in 3 straight, and 36 plus fantasy points in 3 or 4. So he's been a very productive player. I'm okay getting Derek White. I'm okay getting to Robert Williams. It's not as easy of a matchup as it was in Mason Plumlee, but Mark Williams and Nick Richards, you know, they hang around the rim, and that's good for Rob Williams as well. And that's it for me for Boston. Utah, Toronto, we have a 230 live total. Toronto giving 7 points to the Utah Jazz. The Utah side of things, I mean, they made some deadline deals. They acquired Russell Westbrook in the Mike Conley trade. It is likely that Westbrook is going to be bought out. That is not anything that has been official. So he might not ever wear a Utah Jazz uniform, but as of now, he is a part of the team. He will not be playing on Friday. But without Mike Conley and without Westbrook on the floor, Jordan Clarkson listed questionable. He has a non-COVID illness. Colin Sexton is going to be one of the most popular plays of the slate, and for good reason. He's only 4K. He played 30 minutes in that game against Minnesota. 37 fantasy points, 22 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, he has been a fantasy player for minute guy his whole career. He is a high-volume shooter. That's what he was in Cleveland. And, you know, he's coming back from the ACL tears, so it's taken him a little bit to get his footing, but we've seen at times this year he's been very productive. Colin Sexton's going to be very popular. And he's a good fantasy player, guy, so he's my favorite play from Utah by far. I think Lauri Markkanen's a little too expensive. Clarkson is okay if he is active, but he is listed questionable. Walker Kessler's in tournaments. Kelly Olynyk, who they should have traded and they didn't, he's fine for tournaments. You know, Talon Horton-Tucker is going to get some ownership here. Who knows what they're going to do with Talon Horton-Tucker. They traded 3 guys that, you know, in Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, and Conley, that directly affects Horton-Tucker's time on the floor. Could be something. We'll have to see the ownership, though, because if he's highly rostered, come roster lock, it just, you can find better value for guaranteed minutes. I mean, Horton-Tucker's minutes have been anything but guaranteed this year, so. You know, he's in play. Just be weary about that. Toronto side of things, we do not know. Interesting. The expectation is that Jakob Poeltl will be available Friday. So that puts a pretty big wrench into things. Man. I mean, that takes Precious Achiuwa off the board pretty much completely at 5,800. Chris Boucher probably takes a step back too. Someone that we've been using quite a bit, coming off his ceiling performance of the year. Thanks, but see you later, Chris Boucher, I guess, is what Nick Nurse is telling him. You know, Van Vliet's fine, 92. I think he's kind of priced out. Siakam, 96, priced appropriately. We finally got the ceiling game. And that, you know, bit into everyone else's production. So we know there's a ceiling in there. This is a good matchup for Siakam, but I think he's priced out. Kind of at 9,600. Scotty Barnes, same way. 7,700 feels too expensive for me. And Gary Trent, tournaments, 6,300. Next game, we have Houston. Didn't know why I said Houston. And Miami. Miami up to a 12-point favorite. And the total that opened at 225.5 now down to 220.5. Has there been news as to why that? I don't see anything specific. I don't know. Maybe we'll look into it too much. But big news for Houston. They traded Eric Gordon. Kevin Porter still out. So, like, they just don't look good. I don't know what to tell you. They don't look good. They're going up against a slow-paced team in Miami. Miami currently in terms of pace 28th, and they're also good defensively. They rank 5th in defense. So if you want to take a shot on Alperen Şengün or Jalen Green, that is fine. But other than that, everyone's secondary play. I guess it, you know, we have to wait for the starting lineup. If Jae'Sean Tate enters the starting lineup, that could be something that's interesting. He played 25 minutes last game, had 25 and a half fantasy points. It's the most minutes he's played since October 30th, which was the last game he played before missing 2 months of the year. So if Jayshon Tate entered the starting lineup, I'd have interest. Not so much if Josh Richards or Josh Christopher or Deshaun Nix entered the starting lineup. On the flip side, Miami looks really good. The only thing is, does this game stay competitive enough? 12.5 point spread is not encouraging. But everywhere you look, it's a plus matchup. I mean, Bam coming off 55 fantasy points in his maybe best offensive performance, at least scoring the basketball. Jimmy Butler played 35 minutes and had 43 fantasy points. Tyler Hero, 4-for-14, not great. But man, the minutes, the guy just doesn't get taken off the floor. 40 minutes last game, 38, 40, 38. Those are his last four games. You know, two of those games, he's gone over 40 fantasy points, two of them under 30. So I think he profiles fine in GPPs. Caleb Martin is interesting. He's had back-to-back really good games. He's like starting one of their forward spots every night, 30-plus minutes with Oladipo and with Lowry out, and that's going to continue to be the case, as well as Duncan Robinson, Nikola Jovic, and Omer Yurtseven. Caleb Martin is fine. No one's going to play him like they haven't, and he's been pretty consistent. And then Gabe Vincent looks like a good value. I mean, 28 fantasy points in 37 minutes. The minutes have been tremendous. He's starting, playing a bunch of minutes. Hard not to like Gabe Vincent as well. Minnesota, Memphis. I'm unsure how to talk about Minnesota today, at least at this point, because what we have is Karl Anthony Towns is still out, but we don't know the status of Rudy Gobert, Mike Conley, Kyle Anderson, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. And I don't think Alexander Walker fits really much into this equation. But Conley, Gobert, and Kyle Anderson sure do. If Gobert plays, like, 6,700 is a good price tag for him. I've been saying that for quite a bit. And he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out. It's a good price. He should play 30 minutes. He's a 7K plus player. Conley, I like the fit in Minnesota. I don't like the price at 59 making his debut. But if he's out, they gave Jalen Noel the start and played him all the minutes, 29, and they won by a lot. And he broke the slate, 30 actual, 51 fantasy points. He's still 3,800. I'd be hard-pressed not to get the Jalen Noel if Mike Conley's ultimately ruled out. And same thing goes for Kyle Anderson. If Kyle Anderson's out, I mean, let's say Gobert, Conley, Anderson all sit. Going back to the well with Naz Reid, I know he's been so largely disappointing, and my lineups can attest to that. But he's back in play. He just needs to stay out of foul trouble. He's a monster fantasy producer when he's out of foul trouble. Jalen Noel, 3,800, looks good. Torian Prince at 3,500 is poised to maybe approach 30 minutes here, has done so in two of the last three games. So there's a lot of things to like about Minnesota, but I just don't know who, we just don't know who's in and who's out. So, and Anthony Edwards, who recently was nominated for the All-Star game, or got into the All-Star game, I should say. Good for Edwards, and he'd look moderately better if all those guys are out as well. On the Memphis side, so Steven Adams is out, Danny Green, they have traded away. They acquired Luke Kennard from the Clippers. So a little wing depth is out, but Ja Morant at 10-6 looks fine. He's been playing more minutes, as we've talked about a couple times. I mean, 5, 6, 7 of the last 8 games, he's played 33 or more minutes. And we've seen some very high ceilings out of Ja. And Jaren Jackson Jr. is home, and we keep talking about this. The statistician at home loves Jaren Jackson. He had 5. Look, I mean, the block totals at home the last 4 games. 5, 4, 6, 5. Those are just the block totals. The 4 road games prior, he had 2, 0, 1, and 3. So there has been a whole Reddit thread. We've talked about it a bunch. I like Jaren Jackson at home. If you're going to continue to rack up the blocks and the steals, no problem going to Jackson. And then everyone else looks mediocre. Like, you can get to whoever starts of Tillman and Clark, but they're secondary plays. Cleveland, New Orleans. 223 total. New Orleans getting three at home. That is because Cleveland is at full strength, sans Ricky Rubio. They didn't make any deals at the deadline, so they're going to run with their regular rotation. And I just, those are the only guys I want. I want Donovan Mitchell, if I'm playing anyone in this game, Garland, Mobley, Allen. Very straightforward. Take a dart on Okoro. He's been better from a fantasy production side. Just know he's a very low floor because he takes 4 or 5 shots a game. From New Orleans, Zion is out. Dyson Daniels is out. They traded for Josh Richardson. I believe he is not playing here. If he does, I mean, it only muddies things up. They traded Devontae Graham for Josh Richardson. But, like, they already have a lot of wings. Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Najee Marshall. I mean, all these guys play the same position as Josh Richardson, essentially. So it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate him. But, I mean, outside of Brandon Ingram, I don't really know where to go. I love the minutes for Ingram. I still think he's too cheap. He's an 8K player without Zion. Not going to get to McCollum in this matchup at 8K. There's just really nothing. Even when Valanciunas has a good game, they don't play him more than 26 minutes. So I think it's Brandon Ingram for me. Only Dallas-Sacramento is an interesting game because we're getting a lot of Luka Doncic conflicting reports. Sacramento were 2.5-point favorites. They are now +1 on the live number. Or were +1. Now it's back to -3.5. And that is because the Dallas Mavericks said Luka Doncic was going to play. And then about an hour later, Luka Doncic said he's unlikely to play. So things are happening in Dallas. So expect no Luka, no Maxi Kleber still, no Davis Bertans. Other than that, like, Kyrie made his debut and looked good. 24-5-4 for 40 fantasy points. He's 10-5. Like, it's a great matchup. Don't think we can get there. And same goes for Christian Wood, except he's not playing the minutes that Kyrie played. He only played 17 minutes last game. Not entirely sure why. Limiting his minutes before the trade deadline, potentially. Maybe the thumb is bothering him. A lot of question marks. Not something I'm interested in getting to if he's only playing 16 minutes off the bench. And then nothing else, like, really looks good. Jaden Hardy went back to just 12 minutes. Reggie Bullock, yes. I'm so proud of Reggie Bullock for making every shot. But, like, how often can we... I mean, the 3 games prior to this last 2-game stretch, he took 13 shots last game. From January 30th to February 4th, he took 11 shots, 12 shots. So, I mean, what version of Reggie Bullock do we want? Same thing with Josh Green. He's been better playing a bunch of minutes, but with Kyrie there, the usage rate is nosediving. And then Sacramento, very, very simple to talk about. You can play Sabonis. That's okay. I don't love the price tag at all, but, like, you can get there. Same for De'Aaron Fox. Like, he's been really good. He's had a couple of these stretches this year. 51 fantasy points per game over his last 4. Coming off 58 in his last game. This is just a different matchup. Dallas plays a lot slower, better defensively than Houston. And from Sacramento, rather. So you can get to Fox. That's fine. And then I think Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, they're all tournament plays. If I were to play one of them, it would be Malik Monk. OKC Portland, this game checks out with the slate high, 240 total. And Portland is giving the Thunder 3 points on the road. The Thunder, fresh off a trade of Mike Muscala, have everyone listed questionable. They also traded Darius Bazley too. Everyone listed questionable. Lou Dort is questionable. Jeremiah Robinson Earl is in the G League. He could be called up at any time. Omiyuri is listed questionable. So for the Thunder, it's pretty easy. I think it's SGA if you want to get there, but 10-8 feels expensive. Josh Giddey 8K feels expensive. Good matchup for both. Jalen Williams 5,500, last piece in. Like, we saw that there's a ceiling, 50 fantasy points, but aided by 6 steals. You can get there as a last piece. If Kendrick starts, he's interesting. I think the only other really interesting piece would be what they're going to do with Jalen Williams, the center, because he started and played 30 minutes last game, and Mike Muscala was still on the roster. What are they going to do with now no Mike Muscala? If JRE doesn't get called up, we're looking at Jalen Williams and Kenrich Williams. Are those their two centers in this game? So, you know, 3,200, I think you could do worse. He's the same price as Mark Williams is the problem. So I don't know, you know, we're going to be prioritizing Mark Williams, and he's only $800 cheaper than Zach Collins if Zach Collins is starting. So decisions to be made. I do think Jalen Williams is a tournament play. On the Portland side of things, they traded Josh Hart to the Knicks. Who else? They also traded Gary Payton back to the Warriors. Thanks for that rental piece, Golden State. I saw that Golden State now officially traded James Wiseman for Gary Payton. That was their return on Wiseman. So that's solid. I mean, I don't know what to do with Portland. Nurkic is out. Hart's gone. Winslow's out. They acquired Cam Reddish. They acquired Matisse Thybulle. None of these guys expected to play. Lillard, 10-9, feels pricey, but we've seen that there's a monster ceiling on Lillard, especially when he's scoring, especially when he has triple-double upside like he did last game. We like using Damian Lillard at home. He has been tremendous at home this year. That's really been throughout his whole career. So you can get to Lillard. And everyone else is a secondary play for me. Simons, Grant, Eubanks, and Nasir Little, I guess, should play 30 minutes. I suspect Nasir Little probably starts for Josh Hart, if I had to guess in this spot. And if it's not him, your guess is as good as mine, but feels like a Nasir Little starting playing 30 minutes. I guess I would have some interest in that at 3K. And then the late night hammer, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, Milwaukee at the Clippers. Milwaukee did not have to travel because they played the Lakers last night. 227 total. Clippers are 2-point favorites. And this game's going to be interesting. We just saw Milwaukee last night. Let's see who plays, right? Bobby Portis is going to miss time. Joe Ingles is listed questionable. He did not play yesterday. Expect him to play on Friday, but, you know, you never know. They traded Jordan Nwora. They traded George Hill. You know, looking at Milwaukee's rotation yesterday, Giannis played 35 minutes. He had a big game, 65 fantasy points. He's very expensive, obviously, but it's worth the price. Jrue Holiday, 7,800. I think he's kind of priced out, especially when you look at Chris Middleton playing 25 minutes. And that was the first time since being back where he's played more than 22. The only thing with Middleton is, could this be a rest game for him? If so, that would definitely put Jrue Holiday back in play much more than he would be. Brooke Lopez under 6K. I don't hate that at all. I wouldn't hate Connaughton or Grayson Allen either if Middleton sat. So keep an eye on Middleton. His news is contingent on the usage of the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks. And then for the Clippers, so the Clippers are going to be interesting because Kawhi's out. They traded John Wall. They traded Reggie Jackson. Bones Highland, they acquired. He's out. They acquired Mason Plumlee. He's out. They traded Luke Kennard. They also came out and said that they're going to kind of limit Paul George and Kawhi's minutes leading up to the All-Star game. That's why we see Kawhi out. I'm usually very fast to click on Paul George's name when Kawhi's out. I don't know if that's going to be the case today, if he's going to be limited. I'd rather take a shot on someone like Norman Powell, who has been playing big minutes with both those guys, and he's been awesome scoring the basketball. For the last five games, 24 or more actual points. He is not afraid to shoot the basketball, and he's 5,700. Norman Powell is one of my favorite plays of the slate, I think. We already know Kawhi's out, especially if Paul George is going to be limited. What is the limit, right? This is a guy who's played 34 minutes in back-to-back games. Does that dip to 30, 31? Does that dip below 30? Just the uncertainty leads me to Norman Powell being good play. Ivica Zubats is interesting if Mason Plumlee is, in fact, ruled out. I assume Plumlee becomes the immediate starter from day one, and we see Zubats take a big step back. But, you know, Zubats is, as long as he's starting and there's no Plumlee, he's fine. Marcus Morris' price makes him interesting. I don't think he's going to go 1 of 8 or 1 of 3 shooting like he did. I mean, he got ejected in that Brooklyn game, but 1 of 8 against Dallas, don't think he'd do that. 4,300 is a really good price. And Terrence Mann, I kind of like. He's been playing a little bit more. Just traded Reggie Jackson. Just traded John Wall. Just traded Luke Kennard. No Kawhi Leonard. You got to think Terrence Mann's going to play a bunch of minutes here. So I like Terrence Mann 4K. He's been far more productive lately. Double-digit points in 3 straight games. 25-plus minutes in those games. The last 2 games, 32 and 29 fantasy points. So the production is following the minutes. And then we'll have to look out for what else they do in their starting lineup. Nicholas Batum is obviously a candidate. They could see more time. Same for Rob Covington, but Covington's largely been out of the rotation. So I think it's Powell and Mann for me. Mild interest in Marcus Morris and if it's a Zubats. And that'll do it for today's slate. You can catch us in Discord all day. We do not record on the weekend, so we will be back for Monday's podcast. I don't know who's on today's playbook, but that content will obviously be out before lock. So will the ownership, so will the projections, so will everything else here at Fantasy Law and the Value video. But once again, please, if you can, if you're be so kind to like and to give the video a thumbs up. And if you don't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel. The growth has been amazing lately, and we appreciate that. And that's all because of you guys. So good luck tonight, guys, and we'll catch you guys on Monday.